So, yeah, let's go ahead. Well, not for the, yeah, you can test it. But make sure you come in, turn it on and off, because I haven't even done this. Go ahead.
Test, 1, 2, hello.
You turn more. better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing, yeah. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the
Good morning. Hey, good to see you guys this morning. We kind of got pushed off the beach, but we figured that was a lot safer for everybody, at least this morning. Should be a pretty day later on. But we're glad you're here with us at Hope on the Beach Church, and you found your way to Shunk Gully, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. So welcome home. This is your home, and we are so glad to have you with us. And I'll call attention to your bulletin and to the connection card that is in there. If you have not given us some contact info, we'd love for you to do that. It's on the front side of the connection card. Lets you know where you came from, and we can connect with you when we've got some information. And so we'd love for you to share that with us. And we don't sell it, give it away. We just keep it in the house. We just want to know you are here, and we're glad you are. So we ask you to fill that info out, and we'll put that in the offering buckets at the end of the service. We're so glad to have you with us. We welcome those who are joining us online. We're glad you've tuned in this morning. This morning, we're going to look at a little story, and we've entitled the message, Who Let the Dogs Out? Thank you. That was bound to happen. So we are glad for you to be here and hear this message this morning. And we're really looking at a woman who wouldn't give up on asking God for what she wanted. She really kept almost hounding Jesus to get the help she wanted for her daughter. And we're going to look at that story and what does that mean for us, because it seems like Jesus gives her an awfully harsh answer, but we're going to see that it's really not harsh at all. So we're going to take a look at that out of Mark chapter 7, and the Bible also tells us in Psalm 100 to shout to the Lord and to make joyful song. And that's what we want to do this morning in worship. So I invite you to stand, join Roberto as he leads us in worship, and you just come be a part of the Hope family this morning.
The lyrics are on the first page of your bulletin. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Hallelujah. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior. Submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. Yeah. So this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sit in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. You know that lady that chases after Jesus and just needs his work in her life? That was me. And this song came up. And I remember my mom had passed away, and that was pretty hard on me. We were pretty close. You can consider me a mama's boy. and I remember just worshiping to this song, and in the midst of worship, and by the way, the pastor asked me, hey, do you want to take this Sunday off? I'm like, no, if I do that, I don't really believe what I say I believe. So I'm going to worship him in the valley and on the mountaintops. And I remember it was the second Sunday after Mom had passed away. And I'm leading worship with two ladies that were amazing singers. Just a little side note. And I just started crying. I finally let it out. It was a very tough moment in my life. And all of a sudden, God gave me joy. And that joy that he gave me has never gone away. I mean, amen, huh? So, in our depth, we seek him. Seek everything that the kingdom. Seek the kingdom and everything else will be added. So let's sing that bridge again. Oh, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. Do you remember those days? Oh, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord, hallelujah, and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one, yeah, who will never fail. trust in God.
Yeah.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Thank you, Jesus.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. You were as I, tempted and tried. Human, the Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, lead me to the cross.
Yeah, give the Lord a big round of applause. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Roberto. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place. We thank you for your presence with us and for receiving our praise. And we now look to receive your word. And we thank you that you are here to pour yourself into us this morning. Might we receive you and all that you have for us in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you for being here. Be seated. My name's Steve. I'm director of ministries here at Hope on the Beach. And it's my privilege to bring a word to you this morning. Pastor and Christy are in Boca Raton, where son Jacob is being installed. on the staff there, and his new assignment, fresh out of his seminary studies and ready to go to work for the Lord. So they're celebrating as a family there, and so I have the privilege of covering with you today, and we're still in the Gospel of Mark. We're still answering questions that we want answers for, and one of those is today's message, who let the dogs out? There we go. Okay, so we got lots of help today, which is great. So, this story is very interesting, because when you first hear it, Jesus seems almost impatient and harsh. And that's not the Jesus we know, is it? And so we need to look a little deeper and see what's really going on. And what's really going on, I think, is that Jesus is challenging her to prove her faith, to demonstrate her faith in a deeper way. So I want to read the story first from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. If you have a bulletin, the sermon message is there in the bulletin. We have some blanks that I'm going to give you the info for as we work through it, and the scripture is there for you as well. So let's take a look at Mark chapter 7. It says, from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. The story seems, on the surface, different than it really is. This woman has a daughter that she is concerned about, and she needs God's help. And so Jesus has slipped in, although I don't think Jesus ever got to slip anywhere, but he slips in to this region and is trying to hide out. Have you not experienced times in your life when you'd like to kind of just hide out, pull away from folks from time to time? And Jesus, you can imagine, was pulled at from every angle, his entire ministry, folks literally draining his power and his grace and his mercy from him. And this was a case where he would like to have stayed hidden, but he couldn't do it. In fact, the scripture says, immediately. So he slips into a house and bang, one of the neighbors is on the phone. Guess who's next door? Now, I'm a big baseball Cardinal, St. Louis Cardinal fan, you can imagine, coming from St. Louis. And I was talking to my sister the other night, and she said, I've been waiting to talk to you because just a block down the road, the starting catcher for the Cardinals is renting a house. And she was knew I'd be interested in that. I'd be more interested if he was living a block from me, but it's okay. She's my baby sister. So sometimes when people with notoriety hit our neighborhood, word travels fast. And that's what happened. Jesus is in the neighborhood. And immediately this woman who had this little daughter suffering, she came and she fell down at his feet. So I want us to see a couple of characteristics about this woman that you and I need to use. We need God's help in so many ways, don't we? Just from day to day, Sunday to Sunday, there are just times in our lives when we just need God's help. And we're not sure how to go about it sometimes. Be honest, sometimes you don't even think God's paying attention. You think your problem is too small for God to bother with or deal with. You sometimes think that he's more concerned about what's going on in the Middle East and Gaza. He's concerned about what's happening in Washington, D.C. He's too busy to worry about my little insignificant problem. But I assure you, both from the scripture and my own personal experience, God is never too busy for you. He is never, never not watching. We're never out of his sight. We're never out of his mind. And this woman comes to this house, and point number one, in your outline, number one says, this woman, I think your outline says the woman, was seeking deliverance for her daughter. She came to the house because she was looking for help for her daughter. You say, well, sure, she was seeking help. That's why she came to Jesus. Okay. But do you realize, and hopefully you don't, because I researched hours and I want to impress you with this tidbit of information. So hopefully you have no idea. Just go along with it. Americans spend $800 million American dollars on self-help books and programs. $800 million. And that doesn't count the other ways that folks look to self-medicate or take care of themselves. They're looking for answers, $800 million a year worth, looking for answers. This woman at least is teaching us one thing. The answer is probably in Jesus. And we need to seek him. We need to come to him. Listen to what the scripture says there. In fact, our memory verse is Jeremiah 29:13. Let's say it together. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seeking is not to be overlooked. Seeking is not like an afterthought of, well, maybe I should pray about it. It's not a second thought. It's not a I wonder if. When it's time to seek the Lord, it is that we are coming before Him, recognizing Him to be the answer. We're looking for the answer. That's why we seek the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. We have a promise that if we seek, we'll get answers. We'll get answers. Jesus isn't going to leave you hanging. If you're truly seeking from Him your answer, He's going to give you an answer. Too many of us spend time seeking answers somewhere else. Like I said, 800 million bucks worth in other places. We burn up the phone lines, call on our sisters, call on our best friend, calling the guy who was in our wedding. We spend a lot of time seeking info from a lot of places. Sometimes we keep the pastor's phone lit up with seeking his input. And I'm not saying that's not a good thing. We're blessed with a smart guy at the helm of Hope. I say that because he's watching. But we've got good leadership. So yeah, you can seek wisdom if you want. But let me tell you, this woman understood that the help her daughter needed had to come from Jesus. And so she came seeking. She found out where He was, and she came to Him. And she fell at His feet. This is the next thing she does, number two. This woman is humble in her supplication, which is prayer. She is humble when she comes before the Lord. So she seeks Him where He is, and then she humbly falls before Him. You see, I think one of the worst things that modern day Christians can do is take Jesus for granted. One of the movements that has gripped Christendom in the last 20 years is this movement that Jesus is my friend. And I'm not saying He isn't. Certainly He is. But when folks trivially say, oh, me and the big guy, we're like this. Really? We're going to call the Son of God the big guy? Is that what we want to go with? This woman humbled herself. Look at what the scripture says back in the text. She threw herself at His feet and she begged Him to cast the demon out. So she comes and she lowers herself beneath Him. Humbly asking God. So let me ask you, when you are in the middle of a dilemma, when you don't know the answer, when you need some kind of deliverance, a life situation that seems too big to whip, when you're up against it, do you first seek Jesus first? And do you do it humbly? You see, we have, by human nature, we have a problem with humility. We don't submit to humility very well because we think we've got it. We got this figured out. As a man, I can tell you that men struggle with this maybe more than women because we're fixers. In fact, we walk around the house looking for something that's broke just so we could fix it. Before we moved down here from St. Louis, Judy made me sell every tool I own. I stood weeping in the garage as the young man was taking my saws. All my self-worth was going out the garage door. Just yesterday, she was saying, "Boy, I wish we had this trim work over our windows," which I had done at another house. And while she's lamenting the fact that I can't put those up anymore, I wanted to say, "That's because you sold my stuff." So, I got no more stuff. My son Caleb and his wife Sam are here with us today from out in Phoenix. And he had all kinds of stuff. You still got your stuff, probably. Oh, yeah, right, yeah. You braggart. Okay, so, but I don't. But so I wander aimlessly through the house. Wow, I could have fixed that. Wow, I remember when that wasn't a problem. Guys like to fix stuff. All we have to do is see a hood up on a car, and we gotta go look. Now, we may not have a clue what we're looking at. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of hoses there. We don't know. But we gotta look like we know. We're fixers. So when it comes to humility, when it comes to being ready to say, "I don't have an answer," we have a hard time with that. We're not good at that. But you know, as believers in Christ, that should be our first default setting. That should be where we immediately go, "I don't have an answer. I don't know what the answer is." Folks will sometimes come to me as a preacher and they'll want answers. And I learned early in serving the Lord that it was okay to tell church members, "I don't know. I don't know." And I learned really early on to not even tell them if I thought I did. Not my place. We need to be seeking the Lord. And we need to be coming before Him. And we need to do it in an attitude of humility. We need to be willing to fall down before the Lord. So this woman was humble in her supplication. James 4 tells us God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then it goes on to say, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you." You come before the Lord in humility. I need an answer, Lord. I need a deliverance. This woman was saying to the Lord, my little girl needs help. My little girl needs to be delivered. And I need you to do it. Now, this is where the story takes a twist. Because it sure sounds like Jesus is just flat being mean. And we know he's not, but he sure sounds like he is. And he says, let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Ow, ow, ow. This is a Greek woman that Jesus is calling a dog. Now, I'm not going to go, never mind. Skip that part. I would just caution you before you call a woman a dog. That's all I'm saying. So, he says to her, you got to let the children eat first. Now, what he's simply saying, who are his children? Israel. Israel, the Jewish people, the folks he has come to minister to. He's got his wisdom and his message is he has come to deliver it to Israel. Gentiles aren't included yet. Gentiles don't even get the message. In fact, as Pastor and I were putting this message together, he made the statement, it's amazing how much this woman knows. And I think that's true. She's not of the Jewish faith. She hasn't sat at the feet of Pharisees and teachers and rabbis. And yet she comes begging for Jesus to give her help. And he says, oh, Israel first. Children first, because it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now this woman could have huffed, could have puffed, could have jumped up, could have called Jesus something derogatory, could have stormed out. But instead she pushes back. She even agrees with him. She says, yes, Lord. Sure. But even the dogs under the table eat the scraps from the kids, from the children. In other words, her pushback was that Jesus was on a mission. And while it was targeting Israel, Jesus, in his grace and his mercy, can't turn anybody away. What you have to know, and here again, I just want to impress you that I know this stuff. I've been to seminary and everything. I just want you to know, when you dig into this a little bit, I think on the surface we read that Jesus is calling her a dog, like we might see a wild dog somewhere, or a dog that's just a dog. But what he's really saying to her, what she was saying, is, I hear you, Yes, Lord, she agrees. However, even the dogs under the table, now she's referring to a house pet. Some of you have, I don't want to get in your grill too much, but some of you have those little dogs that look like wet mice. You know what I mean? They're Roberto's going, what do you leave me alone, man? But there are those who have what they want to call a lap dog. One of my best buds, Dan Fink, he and Susan have their pet dog. And I'm telling you, that little guy lives and breathes what those two are doing. He knows when they're coming in the house before they get to the driveway. He sits on this big footstool while Dan can have his place there and his pup's right there by. And Dan can be watching television, the pup's looking at Dan, waiting for him to make a move. Because if you go, I'm going. We have pets. We have dogs that we do what? We feed them where? Under the table. And some of your pets look like they eat under the table. And that's what she is coming back with. She is saying, yes, Lord, I know Israel's first. I know the children are first. But you know, we sometimes feed our pets under the table. Sometimes we have other connections that are not necessarily in the family, but they're part of the family. Right? Those of you that have those pets, I know how you feel about them. Judy and I, we still talk. Some of you, we had a lop-ear rabbit, a domestic rabbit, Annabelle. Annabelle was world famous on Facebook. She had her own page. She had a following. I was sick not long ago. Oh, I had a birthday too. May have been why I was sick. But I had a birthday. And Judy puts on Facebook something about my being 102. And people start, I don't do Facebook, so I don't see it. But she just starts scrolling down. Here's so-and-so, 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 birthday greetings. Annabelle died about a month ago. In fact, we had to put her down. Some of you have been there with your pets. And we had to do that. Now, I wasn't ready for the experience. I thought we'd roll up at the vet, they'd come get Annabelle, we'd go home. Oh no. No, we're taking Annabelle in. We're petting Annabelle. They give Annabelle an injection, and we watch her die. Who does that? Just take the rabbit and put her out of her misery. But we, a month later, still, we'll talk about how we miss Annabelle. Now, this is a rabbit. She didn't bark. She didn't guard the house. She didn't even relate. She didn't put those big eyes on you. In fact, Annabelle was the kind of rabbit, touch me again, I'm going to bite you. So basically, we had this pet that stayed in her spot and trained us to bring her food. But still, she was our pet. And she was part of the family. And when she died, she got more feedback off Facebook than I did. Because Judy, some of you haven't gotten to meet Judy that well. You don't know what hides under that beautiful woman. There is this sick sense of humor. You know it's true. She's already plotting my next disaster. But she would put little funnies out there on Facebook about Annabelle. And folks would respond as if Annabelle were human. We have pets. And they become part of our family. And that's what this lady was saying. She's saying, look, I know the children of Israel first. I know they get the top pickings. But even our pets get to eat under the table. In other words, folks not part of the family, but yet part of the family, get in on the goods. And Jesus says what to her? Good answer. Good answer. And that answer has just healed your daughter. You can go now because she's fine. She's fine. You see, this lady sought. She came seeking. She was humble in her asking. And number three, she was persistent until she received satisfaction. She stayed after Jesus until she got what she was looking for. Beloved, the Bible tells us we have to stay in prayer. Our seeking God is not just all of a sudden I'm in the mood, hey Lord, I need this. No. When we're seeking the Lord, we're waiting for an answer. We're waiting. We're humbly seeking Him, and we're persistent until He comes through with an answer. Now, let me give you a little caveat. Sometimes the answer is no. No. But that's still an answer. That's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been tuned in to get. Look at what the Scripture says, Romans 12. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Constant in prayer. This woman kept asking and waiting. She gave answers. She and Jesus were in a dialogue, and she got it right. And she got what she was looking for. There's a couple of things I want you to take away today. Letter A, God wants us to ask. Bible tells us He knows our needs before we ask. And you may think to yourself, then why ask if He already knows? Because remember that part there I was talking about, let's not start taking Jesus for granted. You know how in your parenting days, You didn't want the kids to just assume they were going to get what you already knew they wanted. There were times when you wanted to hear them say that's what they still wanted. Sometimes Jesus just wants to hear us ask. He wants, and B, He wants us to recognize it's His provision. He wants to know that we know this is from Him. Not my sister's advice. God has given the provision. And last, He proves with this woman that He is open to all and true to His mission. Jesus stayed true to Israel's first, but He is open to all. Let me say just a word in closing. We need to decide that we're going to seek the Lord when we need help. Not other things, not that $800 million worth of self-help. We need to seek the Lord. And we need to do it humbly, and we need to do it persistently. We need to let the Lord know we're not taking Him for granted. We recognize who He is. And then we thank Him. We thank Him for what He has provided for us. So let me encourage you to be like this woman and seek Him first. And don't give up, because even our pets get fed under the table. Jesus has answers for you. And it's better for us because we're not under the table. We're not a pet to Jesus. We're His child. We're in the family. He will answer if we'll ask. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the chance to just be in this house. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the reminder that You hear us and You're ready to provide for us. We thank You for Your goodness today. And we want to lean into Your mercy and Your grace. We want to walk with You today and hear from You today. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. And let's pray as we've been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. One of the best ways to recognize God's provisions is in giving back to the Lord and His work. And so every Sunday we give you an opportunity to do that by taking up, receiving, and offering. And so this morning we will be doing that. We will receive an offering and your connection card. Also in your bulletin there are other ways to give. You can give this morning as the bucket comes by. You have an envelope in your bulletin that you can use. Or you can give online. It's all there for you, the info you need about giving. We just want to be a part of what God's doing. And our offering is an opportunity for that. Also, we'd like to collect your connection card. On the back of the card, you can communicate with us. The back of the card, you can tell us if God has touched your heart in some way this morning. Perhaps you'd like to follow Him in baptism or membership. Perhaps you'd like to help us serve in some way. And there are lots of the things that are coming up are listed there for you. We're getting ready to have Inlet Beach go weekly around the first of the year. And we need help. We need folks that will help us get there. We're going to have a launch meeting next week. And if you'd like to help us at Inlet Beach, you are welcome to come to the meeting. Your bulletin carries the announcements. The Women of Hope have a pool party coming up next weekend. So do the youth have a pool party coming up. And there are other things coming. Some classes you may want to be a part of that we'll be talking about as we go. Some of you have been asking about life groups, wanting info for that. We're going to begin the week of September 14th. And so in the next weeks, you'll get all the info about life groups. So hang in there. We're getting close. Bless you for being here today. We're so glad you've come to be part of Hope this morning. So we're going to receive our offering as Roberto continues to lead our worship. Let's stand together.
Lyrics are on the back page of your bulletin.
Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply.
Let's sing that again. Come on.
Look at the flowers and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder. You know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need. Everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Everything I need. Everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it.
Yeah.
Look at the sparrow. No fear for tomorrow and what it will bring. Oh, if I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy everything I need. Everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Everything I need. Everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the the Lord will provide. My Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasure. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. So, hallelujah. So as you go, receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. See you next week. God bless you.